Somebody, a call is coming from Spain. Sister Joy from okay, Spain, yes? From Spain, Joy.
Okay, I am... Shalom, church.
Shalom.
Shalom. I want to ask a question. Is it good for a Christian to... To give policeman a bribe?
To do what? Smoke. Is it good for...
Is it good for a Christian to give policeman a bribe?
Praise the Lord. Okay, thank you, Sister Joy from Spain. Is it good to give policeman bribe? Let's define what bribe is first. What is bribery? In the context that you give to induce the policeman to give you unmerited favor, you've committed an offense, and so that you will not be arrested and charged, then you induce that policeman, you bribe, you give him the money to set you free. You have committed sin both against the law of the land and against heaven. So it is wrong in that context to bribe. Now, but when a policeman comes and demands that you give me this, or I will do this. If you don't give me this, I know what I will do. Squeeze you, finish you. And you give that money to that person to secure your freedom, you have not given bribe. That policeman has committed a sin against heaven and earth. That is extortion by the police. The police has extorted from you. That is not bribery. When you do that to secure the freedom you are entitled to, it's extortion. Praise God. So that you must define bribery very well. Okay, Sister Joy from Spain. Yes, your question.
My question is from Acts 2 verse 38.
Yes.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I read this verse, and I also opened to Joel 2, verse 28, that it was saying that, and I shall pour my spirit upon all flesh. Now, if I should look at this Acts 2, verse 38, it said that all men should repent for the remission of their sin, and they shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It said that for the remission of their sins before they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I know on the other hand that there is every possibility that a Christian or a person can receive a spiritual gift before he receives Christ. Now, what is this verse trying to say?
Why did you link it with Joel 2:28?
Because if I should look at it, maybe you might want to tell me that God said He will pour His spirit upon all flesh. So I had to put.
See, your reference should be Acts chapter 10 in the house of Cornelius, that they received the Holy Ghost before they were baptized. Because Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So if you read it, it means there is the order: repentance first, then the remission of your sins through water baptism, and then you receive the Holy Ghost. So what you are saying is, why are people receiving the Holy Ghost first before going for their sins to be remitted?
Yes.
In water baptism. The Bible has answered it. It means you can truly receive the Holy Ghost first. But when you have received the Holy Ghost first, and it must be because you have repented. If you have not repented, you cannot receive the Holy Ghost. So, and repentance is a spontaneous thing. You can receive the Holy Ghost, but the evidence, and that is why I have taught here several times, that you can receive the Holy Ghost anywhere. Even under a woman pastor, as we all know that women ministry like that, pastoral ministry, is not God's perfect will. Even under that, you can receive the Holy Ghost. Even in Catholic Church, you can receive the Holy Ghost. Even in Celestial Church, you can receive the Holy Ghost. Because even in your bedroom, you can receive the Holy Ghost. In your kitchen, you can receive the Holy Ghost. You may be traveling in a bus, you can receive the Holy Ghost. But how do we know it is the Holy Ghost? It will lead you to all truth. After that, it will cause you to go for your sins to be remitted, so that your salvation is completed. So yes, you can receive the Holy Ghost before water baptism.
But I'm not still clarified. If I should look at that verse again, it's saying that it's after the remission of your sins. That is when you can receive it.
I think I've explained that. If you need more explanation, please, let me refer you to one brother. Brother Ifan is a former youth leader here before. He's a preacher. Please meet him, let him explain that for you. Thank you.
My second. My second question.
Yes.
My second question is, a sacrifice that costs somebody something valuable, but when that person remembers it, he like regrets it. Is there any reward for it?
Regret that you made the sacrifice. Maybe that means you didn't make the sacrifice.
If the person made the sacrifice willingly, but when your mind go back to that sacrifice, it will be as if it's paining you.
No. Then it's not an acceptable sacrifice. What? There must be a reason why you made the sacrifice. The reason overrides any other feeling you will have for making that. Because each time you remember that sacrifice, it should give you joy that this thing, because the value of whatever you made that sacrifice for, the value you attach to it is greater than the cost of that sacrifice. For my salvation, I decided to do away with some things. The value of my salvation is so high that can never be compared with the cost of that sacrifice. So why will I remember a sacrifice I made to get something precious and regret that sacrifice? God bless you.
The last question.
Go on.
The last question is, if someone is, as in, you're confessing your sins and you're inviting Jesus Christ into your life, is there any possibility that you can actually accept Jesus Christ, but Jesus will not accept you?
Yes. Yes, now.
But you are accepted willingly, as in with your whole heart.
Yes.
Why?
Praise the Lord. Open John chapter 6. That's very deep, isn't it? Because the average Pentecostal say, just come. Because he said, if you come to me, he said, I will in no wise cast away. There's another scripture like that, isn't it? So it means everyone that comes, he accepts. But let me tell you, read verse 44.
John 6, verse 44.
Yes.
Not that any man had seen the Father, save he which is of God.
John chapter 6, verse 44.
Okay. No man can come to me
except. Say it again. Again, start again.
No man can come to me.
Say it again.
No man can come to me.
No man can come to me.
Except the Father which has sent me draw him.
So before you can come to Christ, although in Matthew 11 verse 28, he said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, come to me. But again, that scripture says, no one can answer that call. No one can come to me except the Father who sent me draw you. Do you understand? Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 13 again. Amen. I know evangelists from deeper life, they will hate what I'm saying now. From verse 47, Matthew 13, 47. Read it.
Matthew 13, verse.
From verse 47, read it down.
47.
That's a parable he gave concerning salvation.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net which was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind.
That is the call. That is the call now. He called everybody, all of it, the gospel they caught everybody. The next verse.
48. Which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away.
So some will be thrown away. Correct? You are not following me. No, you are not following me. Are you following me? The fisherman went and caught plenty things in his net in the river and brought to shore. Did he accept all of them? There are bad ones that he threw back to sender. So is salvation. God bless you. Next question. Okay, there's a Skype. There's a question from Swiss. Sister Steve from Swiss. Sir, I want to know if the devil is the God of this world. It was taught in my school last Sunday, and 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 was quoted, and I was confused. Please, is it true? The God of this world. Praise the Lord. When you talk about the God of this world, you have to redefine the meaning of world. The word world is different from earth. The world here is talking about the systems that exist on earth. And the systems that exist on earth today, the controlling force is the devil. And that is why that same devil in Mark chapter 4. Can we read it? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry. Matthew, not Mark. Matthew chapter 4. The temptation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 8. That is the third temptation. Again, the devil took him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me, because they belong to him. Yes, therefore Satan is the god of this world, evil world. But very soon, the owner of the earth, for it is written, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. He will come and take over the earth, and that demon will be put in a bottomless pit, and there shall be peace. Praise the Lord. For the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of His Christ. The Bible says so. So, Sister Steve from Swiss, they are correct in your Sunday school. Yes, brother.
Daddy, God bless you. Please, I need your humble advice.
Yes.
Daddy, by the grace of God, through your teachings in this church since I started coming, which has been helping us and still helping us, you know, our eyes of understanding to get opened. It happens that whenever I'm tuning a gospel channel and happens to come across Joyce Meyer, you know, I don't know, something always moves me to turn off the station with anger, you know, and this has continued several days. Looking at her appearance, the short hair, the earring, the trouser, you know, that even happened 2 days ago. And my wife noticed that. And she was telling me that big earring goes with short hair. So, Daddy, I don't know whether I need repentance because I've never been patient enough to listen to her.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Why will you be bothered about listening to Joy Meyers? Is she in the message? Is she in the message? If she were in the message, then you feel guilty that she's preaching a message that God has sent to us in this age and you are not listening. Then you feel guilty. She's not in the message. She belongs to the denomination and she's part of the reason why God sent us a message. She has no business standing at the altar there and preaching according to the Bible. But she's there exalted and, you know, flaunted around the whole world as some big preacher. Of course, you know she's a motivational talker. What I advise you to do is this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Approach, you know, your Christian faith. Let it be with all simplicity, childlike faith. It will interest you that I like to listen to everybody talking. And sometimes I gain some things even from that woman preacher. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I gain some things even from that woman preacher. But the truth is, we have known too much to subject ourselves to such a ministry. Our eyes of understanding, He has opened up at last. As with victory is ours, we are chained down in the past. True jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God, who's the original, the original, the original sin, the original world is what I believe, the Son of Man. God's attributes. That is the source. God's attributes were manifested to His pride in this affair. We have caught a revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord. Original love. Hallelujah. That's what the message. If you didn't hear the message, you would have been listening to her, because she's a very good talker. Oh my, motivational talker. When they talk, they captivate everybody. Amen. But when you look at it very well, nothing for the bride. Nothing. Praise God. So please, don't have a there is a way that you have a critical mind until the spirit of criticism comes upon you and you see nothing good anywhere. Remember, I've told you here several times, I said, even God can use even a madman to talk to you. See? Sometimes I just put on the television like that too and begin to listen to some of them. You know, some really say nothing. There are some of them that shout a lot. They start to, what did they talk now? Nothing. I go change. Nothing. Amen. And then some will talk. And then, you know, the general message all of them have is the type of message Ahimaaz get. What did Ahimaaz, what was his message? All is well. That's all. That's all. All is well. All is well. You will make it. You will not, you know. And that is the title of the message that day. Amen. It's okay. That's why we are continuing to thank God for the message, for the entire message. I don't know how many people appreciate the opening of your eyes in this. If not, my wife will have been the preacher for tonight. Mommy should be the mommy. And everybody say, hey, mommy, I like the way she tell mommy. Should I have a special seat in one corner somewhere? The serious special rock. Serious one, special seat. When you enter, you will know that is mommy and daddy. Hallelujah. We are traveling on the right road. We are traveling on the right road. There is one way to the city of God. We are traveling on the right road. If you will go, if you will go, don't hinder me. Tell your neighbor. On the right road. Hallelujah. Some people don't come here and they don't know what we are doing here. One day you will come here. Amen. And you will see only yourself in this hall. The rest of us are gone. Hallelujah. There is a land beyond the river that we call the sweet forever, and we only reach that shore by faith decree. One by one we get the portal there to dwell with the immortal. When the ring the golden bell for you and oh, don't you hear the bells now ring? Of the hour. That's the golden bell. It's ringing now for you and for me. One of these days, something will happen and this Bible will become real. There is heaven, there is hell, and there is a fire. As a place of torment and as a place of annihilation. One of these days, people will know and the sacrifices we made on earth here is not in vain. I'm telling you. That's why the answer to that sister. What sacrifice you make, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know the songwriter says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Our trials will seem so small. When we see Christ, a glimpse of His dear. I don't forget them, sir. Why I don't know that song? Praise the Lord. Okay, it's on the screen. He said, one glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. All the sorrow you have, that we had on earth, here will erase. The day we will see Him face to face. Hallelujah. He says, so bravely run the race till we see Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Whatever sacrifice we are making now, let the world laugh at you, sister, that you don't put on earring, you don't wear trousers, you don't dress. Yes. Let your friends laugh at you that you don't go to a nightclub. You don't have girlfriends and carry women up and down. Amen. Praise the Lord. Whatever sacrifice we are making now, one of these days, but until then, rejoice, rejoice, we carry on until the day, until the day, until the day, until the day, until the day. My heart shall sing when I was to remember. My heart ache here. It's not a step is slow. Along the trail that's upward. This troubled world. Stay. But I'll see there. Sisters, stay very last. Stay very last, sisters. But until then, sisters. Thank you. thank you. Because now that they suffered it in past. Sit down. Now that your friends they have a past. Now that devil they use. Yab, remind you. See you. Amen. Whatever it is, hold on to him. One of these days, you will know that it was worth it all. Can we clap our hands for our God? That's the hope we have. Okay, the last two people we have to pray now. Yes, sister. Okay, there's another Skype from Brother Eze from Iceland. He says, Shalom, Chop, Pastor, my question is about swearing. If you have a brother that wants to summon you to LLA church, the founder is Father Ede, and people who have gone for such summons say they swear with the Bible. I want to know if such practice is biblical. And the church, you say what? Revelated church, what do you say? So, our brother from Iceland. The Bible says we should not swear at all. Which scripture is that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew. Praise the Lord. Let me show the scripture. Amen. Chapter 5 and verse 33. Chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 33. Are we there? He says, again, you have heard that it has been said by them of old, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou cannot make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than this, cometh of evil. So let somebody go and help me and tell Father Ede to stop that. It is wrong. God bless you. Okay, another one again, Brother Unduka from Spain. He says, Shalom, church. After the 1,000 reign of Christ and his bride, Satan will be loose for a short time. Now, where will Christ and his bride be at that time of the war of Gog and Magog? He's quoting Revelation chapter 20. Can we read it? Revelation chapter 20. Amen. Some people are studying. If you don't study, if you don't, people who ask questions, they are those who are studying. If you study, you must ask questions. Okay, verse 7, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 7. And remember that at this point, we get to verse 7, the saints in Christ have ruled for 1,000 years. We are here on earth with Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, the rest of us, the saints, judging the whole world, ruling with him for 1,000 years. When Satan is put in a bottomless pit, and therefore there's peace on earth. Verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is at the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. Can you see something? And compass the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. I believe that verse 9 answers your question. Where will the saints be? Where will Christ be? They will be here to confront him here on earth. He is loose to tempt the world again, and he will have followers. So much as there will be so many as the sands of the sea, millions of them. And they will camp about the saints of God. And we are the saints. Praise the Lord. And not only us, but all those at that time too, who will refuse to follow him. You gather to finish us. And just then, fire will come from above. In that battle of Gog and Magog. Praise the Lord. So that is your answer. We shall all be here to face. It's a battle between us and Satan. Yes, sister.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, please.
Okay. Shalom, God bless you.
God bless you.
Yes, Shalom Church. My name is Sugode from Switzerland. Daddy, I just want to ask a question. There is something that is just confusing me a little bit. As a Christian, maybe you are in a place, and maybe an armed robber came to attack you as a Christian you are, but you are opportuned to maybe to retaliate, maybe to kill them. Also, if you kill them, will you count that person as a murder, as a murderer?
Brother Chukudi from Switzerland. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me quickly answer it this way. And I hope I'll be safe to answer it that way. In a moment of danger, when you face danger, whatever the Lord leads you to do at that hour, do it. And heaven will back you up. Because the Lord may lead you. The truth is, at the point of such danger, at the point of death, praise the Lord, there must be a reaction from you. The reaction will either be to begin to shout the name of Jesus, to start to pray, or when you see a man that suddenly disarms somebody that is armed, where you should have been running away, a strength comes upon you and you successfully disarm that person through any means. You incapacitate him at that hour. You know that it's normally superhuman to do that. So that is why I say, as a Christian, whatever the Spirit of God leads you to do at that hour for your safety, heaven will back you up and it will not be seen. God bless you. Okay, sister.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
My question comes from Isaiah chapter 3, verse 15.
What? Isaiah.
Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16.
Read it.
Please, sir, my Bible is not King James version.
Eh?
It's not King James.
Whether it is Queen James, read it.
Warning to women of Jerusalem. The Lord said, look how proud the women of Jerusalem are. They walk along with their nose in the air. They are always fleeting. They seek vanity, little jingle. But I will punish them. I will shave their head and leave them bald. A day is coming when I, the Lord, will take away from the women of Jerusalem everything they are proud of. The ornaments they wear,
on their ankle, on their the ornament they wear on their ankle, on their hands, on their neck, and on their wrist. He will take away their veil and their hat, the magic charm they wear, and on their arms and their wrist. My question is, God was warning Jerusalem, women of Zion, this is Jerusalem, about what they put on. Sir, I want to ask, in this our age, is that message not also for us in this age?
That what?
That what God is warning women of Jerusalem of, that they put on, like jewelry, all those things. It's like God doesn't want them to put on all those things. So I'm asking that question now. God said he will punish them about it. Is that warning not also for we women?
No, I think you're displacing that scripture.
Okay, sir.
The removal of all those ornaments was a punishment to them.
Okay.
But at our own time now, it is not a punishment.
Okay.
It is to distinguish us from the people of the world. So there are two different settings. God bless you. Yes.
Yes. God bless you, sir.
That should be the last person. The last person. No more. After you, no more. Okay, I'll listen to you. Yes?
Yes, sir. My question may be a bit funny. Please just help me, sir.
Yes.
On the doctrine of the serpent seed, you saw serpent seed. Adam had his own seed, and the serpent had his own seed, too. Now Adam gave birth to two human beings. One for Adam, one for the serpent. Now my question is this: why did Eve not give birth to a serpent for the serpent?
Sorry, I don't understand you.
Adam had his own seed, and Eve gave birth to Adam's seed as a human being. Why did Eve not give birth to a serpent for the serpent?
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. When a white man, American man, for instance, European man, marries a black woman, why doesn't the woman give birth to Igbo?
Sorry, I didn't get it, sir.
When Oyibo man sleeps with a black African woman, your question is, why didn't the African woman give birth to Oyibo? That's your question.
No, sir. That's
what does the woman bring forth when he gives birth to a man, to a child fathered by a white man? What does she produce?
So maybe I should speak further on this. There are women who, like, we hear cases of women who sleep with dogs and they give birth to dogs.
I've not heard it.
Women who sleep with dogs. There are some women who sleep with dogs for money. They give birth to dogs.
I've not heard of it. So I don't know about it.
Okay, that's why I answered that question anyway, sir.
Listen. Remember that. Do you know how serpent looked like before he became a snake?
No, not really.
Eh?
Not really.
Then, why do you say the woman did not give birth to a serpent seed? The Bible says in verse 15, Genesis chapter 3, that the serpent had a seed. And it was the woman that gave birth to the serpent seed. So the woman actually produced the serpent seed. And that seed was Cain. So she brought forth a serpent seed.
All right, thank you, sir.
But it was not a snake she gave birth to. Do you understand? It was after the curse that upright being became a snake. So he brought forth a serpent.
All right, thank you, sir.
Cain of the wicked one.
Sorry, sir. One more. In your doctrine of the 70 weeks of Daniel, the doctrine of 70 weeks of Daniel, you said something. After our reign, after the saints go with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are coming back for a millennium reign.
Yes.
Okay. So, in that message, you said something, and I heard clearly. You said God saw in his foreknowledge that there will still be some serpent seeds after the millennium reign. And so that's why he's going to make another judgment for them if I get too well there. So my question now is that, does it mean that serpent seeds will go in the rapture?
Go and listen to that message very well. Try to listen very well so that when you ask your question, it can encourage me to know that you are listening to me when I'm talking. The saints come back to reign on earth, and the message of the day of the Lord, there will be a few people that will be left on earth. And the reason those few people will be left on earth during the period we call the day of the Lord, so that they can repopulate the earth. They are the ones that will repopulate the earth during the 1,000 years period. We that went in the rapture, we have taken up immortality. We are taking up angelic body. We cannot produce and reproduce anymore. We are angels. So we are not the ones that will repopulate the earth. It is those that they were left in the destruction to repopulate the earth. They are the ones. 1,000 years, you can imagine millions of people, because there's no death, no sickness, nothing anymore. The Bible says when somebody is 100 years old, they will say he's a baby. So, population explosion on earth. And among them, praise the Lord, there will still be children of the wicked one there. That they were only being tamed because Satan is in the bottomless pit. So when he's released, for everybody to show where you belong, that is the purpose of that release. So that everybody will know why you are going to hell in the white throne judgment. The fire. God bless you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yes, sister.
Shalom, Pastor.
God bless you.
So I have two questions to ask you.
Yes.
Number one, is it right for a teacher to help the SS3 students during WAEC?
Expo?
Yes, sir.
Expo?
Yes, sir.
Abomination. Sin.
Sir, the reason why I'm asking this question, last year...
Don't give me reason. It is sin.
Okay, sir. Okay.
It is sin now. It is sin. What's your second question?
So my second question is, I was reading my Bible in the book of Hosea, and I read that God told Hosea to go and pick a wife of harlotry and give birth to children of harlotry because of the sins of the children of Israel.
Yes.
Is it Hosea that caused that sin, or is it the children that caused it, that the Lord told him, name them this name? Not Peter, not my people, Jezreel. Is it their cause, or is it their fault for the sins of the children of Israel that the Lord told him, go and pick a wife of harlotry and give birth to the children of harlotry?
There is another prophet again that was told to walk naked. Another prophet was told to eat shit. The Bible says in Romans 8:28. That all things work together for good to them who love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. When God calls you, he calls you to fulfill a purpose. So he called Isaiah so that he will use Isaiah to make certain statements to the line. It was still part of his ministry he was doing. So God told him, go and marry from the harlotry. And, you know, they were all prophetic actions using those children. And you read later on and see what happened to Israel. So it's the same thing. So it is God just using it. It's not the sin of Isaiah. It's not the sin of Hosea. It's not their sin. But they are servants of God. God can tell you to give a message, thus said the Lord. And God can tell you to use an action also to pass a message if you are his prophet. God bless you. There's a brother there that is protesting. He wants to ask a question. Give him microphone there. Ask me from that place.
Praise the Lord, church.
God bless you.
Sir, Pastor, I want to ask something. This thing, I got confused in Revelation chapter 17, verse 6. So here, the Bible said, Revelation chapter 17, verse 6, that, praise the Lord, that they were drunken by the blood of the saints. And I got confused because Bible said in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, we, the saints. But how come that the devil can, you know, will be drunk by the blood of the saints again? I was confused.
The devil? He didn't say the devil there.
He said the woman was drunken by the blood of the saints.
Who is the woman? Who is the woman referred to there?
It's a church.
Eh?
It's a church.
To be drunken with the blood, it means you spilled blood, isn't it? It's talking about the saints that church killed and destroyed and shed blood. That's the reference there.
Okay. But the saints is not supposed to partake in the church.
Praise God.
Yes, sir.
You are not a member of this church.
I am, sir.
Since when?
Oh, it's of long.
Sir?
I like to study. And this place has been giving me worry.
Since when, sir, have you been a member of this church?
2005.
In this church?
Yes, sir.
Ekike? No. You see, all the ministers are protesting that you have not been in this church.
Also, what I'm saying is, he said the blood of the saints there.
No, what I'm saying is that you have not been in this church.
I have been, sir. But I got confused in that passage. That's why I want to know.
Praise the Lord. I asked you a question. I said, that woman, Revelation chapter 17, who is she?
She said, it's a church.
Which church?
To refer to, it should be a Catholic church. As you have taught
us. Do you
here.
Know the history of what the saints are believers?
Yes, sir.
Of old.
Yes, sir.
The church history. Do you know what the saints went through in the hands
of... Oh, Pastor, I understand. I now catch it.
You catch it now.
Yes, sir.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Yes, a caller is coming, yes?
Yeah.
I'm hearing you. Yes?
Yeah, hello, shalom. Shalom, church.
Shalom.
Yeah, I'm Brother Uche from Austria.
Uche from Austria, yes, we're hearing you.
Yeah, Pastor, I want to know why are we worshiping on Sunday? Because I'm a bride member. But the Bible said that we should keep the Sabbath holy. Is it right to watch it on Sunday? Because I want to know from your idea. And again,
okay,
if somebody did something wrong to us, are we going, somebody who wants to kill you, or who will give money and go and do something to kill you, is it better to pray for him to live or for him to die? This is my question.
Praise God. I don't know who can answer him. He says, should we pray for somebody that you know wants to kill you? You pray for him to live or pray for him to die? Prophet Igbo says, it's as the Spirit leads you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's open Matthew. Let me start with that before I come to your Sabbath. Okay. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, are we there? Verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, who is the person speaking? Thank you. That you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man shall sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 24. Amen. I think I've missed that scripture. But I think I've missed that scripture. Amen. I think I missed that scripture. There's a scripture I am looking for to buttress that also. But what I think, okay. It's important that we catch this, church. When Jesus Christ says, if they slap you on one cheek, turn the other way. If you follow it literally, I don't know how many people can do that. You stand before somebody, slap you, pow, then you turn the other one, slap me also. I had a story of a young man that was an evangelist somewhere in the East. At Ihube, Okigwe. He said, he met a guy, he said, you are a pretender, you are preaching what you cannot keep. He said, I keep everything I preach here. He said, okay, come. He sounded him, towers. The young man knew what he meant. He turned the other cheek again. The man gave him towers. The man was going to give him the third one again. Then he held the hand. He said, the Bible says only once. If you hit me again, you will know, say, righteousness is no weakness. Praise the Lord. From that scripture, you can see all the Bible is teaching is we should not retaliate. You must not retaliate. But if I know somebody wants to hurt me, what do I do? What we do is not to look for him and hit him. The Bible makes it very, very clear. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And he said the weapons of our warfare, they are not what? Can I bet what? Mighty through God. That is why when your enemy is tormenting you, you don't go and face them, you go on your knees. And when you're on your knees, you can kill him. When you're on your knees, you can paralyze him. Amen. What the Lord Jesus is teaching there is never you retaliate. Don't go and face the person. Remove my tooth, I remove your own. You hit me, I hit you back. No. The weapons of our warfare. So, first, the Bible recognizes you are in a battlefield. You are in a warfare. And warfare is two different camps fighting. But the weapons we use to fight this battle, they are not carnal, they are not physical. But they are mighty through God. That is prayer. When they are tormenting you like this, they abuse you, you leave them, begin to start a fast, and go on your knees in your room. They don't know. The next day you wake up, you go look out. Yes. Something must happen. And it's not for you to enter your room and pray, let the person hear you. I will show you that I'm serving a living God. You are doing this to me? Hey. Then you enter your room, he's hearing you. Father, whosoever shall we not leave? Father! And the person is hearing you. You are hitting back now. You are physically hitting back. Amen. Tell me anybody who a witch, when he's doing his invocation incantation against you, do you ever see it? Eh? But when you wake up, you will see the effect. So also it is with prayers. That's why we are here praying now. As we are here praying, certain prayer points we call. Something is happening somewhere. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, I think it is enough for the questions. Let's go back to our prayers. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Are you not happy? Clap your hands now. Oh, sorry, the second part. Oh, Sabbath. I'm sorry, sorry. Why do we worship on Sunday instead of Saturday? Listen, what's his name again? From Uche, from Austria. Yes. Listen. Let's open Colossians chapter 2. Verse 16 and verse 17. We can screen that so that Uche can see it in Spain. Everywhere. Now, this is Apostle Paul telling people who want to hold tenaciously to the law, the rituals of the law, those ordinances. He said, let no man therefore judge you in meat. That is what you should eat and what you should not eat according to the law. Some meats are unclean, some are clean. Or in drink, you shouldn't take certain type of drinks. Or in respect of a holy day, certain days are holy. Or of the new moon, certain celebrations that are done monthly. Or of the Sabbath days. He said, let nobody judge you concerning the Sabbath days. Why are you working on a Sabbath day? Why are you this? Verse 17. He said, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. If it is a shadow, it means it is speaking of some other reality coming up. The Old Testament is a shadow of the New. The New Testament is a fulfillment of the Old Testament. And all the ordinances in the Old Testament were fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. They rested on Saturday, but Apostle Paul told us in the book of Hebrews, he explained that in the book of Hebrews. And then you must also know that Jesus Christ said, "Come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So the rest now is in Christ Jesus. So Jesus is our Sabbath. Praise the Lord. And we have to keep it holy. Because without holiness, no man will see God. Now, why Sunday? It is true that I don't know whether his name is Gregory or one of the bishops, the popes, the Roman popes, declared Sunday a day of worship. It is true. But remember, I want you to always remember that Catholicism was a marriage of idolatry with Christianity. Amen. Christianity, that is why she's referred to Revelation chapter 17 as a harlot and the mother of harlots. It's a marriage of idolatry with Christianity. After that popular meeting of Nicene in 8325, where it was agreed that Christianity should merge with their Roman pagan worship and see how we can come together and have one religion. So it will be a matter of give and take. That is where we have in every Catholic church, there is always a shrine, either in front or behind, with the image, a statue of a woman that they call Mary. But remember that the heathen Rome were worshipping a woman before Christianity came there. And so, they only changed the name from that woman they were worshipping before to Mary. And also, praise the Lord. And also many other things that they merged together. Now, the disciples already, in remembrance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they chose the first day of the week to always come together to remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For one blessed Sunday morning, the first day of the week, they went to the grave and the angel announced to them there that he is risen. Why seek the dead, the living among the dead? And so, in commemoration of that, the disciples were already meeting. Christians were meeting on the first day. Not because it substituted a Sabbath, but because it was to remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, the Sabbath came under the old covenant. And the new covenant came to substitute the old covenant. And in the new covenant, it is Christ and Christ alone. Praise the Lord. And so when the Catholics, during that merger, accepted it, they also decided, okay, let that day be our day of worship. And they declared it a public holiday to enable people go to worship. But yes, they declared it, but it was still a merger. Because that day was already a day of a heathen worship, known as Sunday. The day dedicated to the sun god. Every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they are all days dedicated to Roman gods. Praise the Lord. And that day was already a day of worship that was now declared for Christian worship. So it was not given to substitute Saturday as the Sabbatarians tend to preach. No. It was a tradition of the Christians before the Roman church came about. God bless you. Hallelujah. Okay, close now. Waiting. From who? Ikwonobe. From France. From Sister Ikwonobe from France. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 3 says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except they are coming falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Please, sir, what is that falling away first? Praise the Lord. The falling away first is from two areas. Number one, Apostle Paul was telling the Thessalonian church that Christ will not come until the total, that falling away first. Go to the lexicon, the Greek lexicon there. It is talking about total rebellion. The word there is total rebellion. The fall away is rebellion. Rebellion from the apostolic faith. The fall away from the faith that was once delivered to us. That's why Jude verse 3 says we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Contend, because there will be attempts for the faith to be, you know, shift away from the faith, to be polluted. Now, and Apostle Paul at that time was saying that this Bible Christianity, a time is going to come when people will, you know, move away from this apostolic faith. And because God also knew that there will be a falling away from the faith, He, God, reserved the restoration ministry in Malachi chapter 4. Hallelujah. To restore us back to the apostolic faith. But also it's a sign also of the end time. The falling away, the rebellion. And the, all the world all over, you can see that man in a state of rebellion has gone worse and is going worse and worse. Until now, there are people who say they are followers of Satan. The church of Satan. There are people who declare that we are Satanists. And they will dress like the way Satan is portrayed in movies. I say, it's our papa. And there are people that can stand and say there is no God. They say they are atheists. How can a human being turn and say there is no God? That is a rebellion. And if it's anything at all, you can see the way it has degenerated into now. Until there is now same-sex marriage. And strikes even into the constitution of countries whose tenets were based on the scripture, the Bible, like America. America's constitution was derived from the Bible. There were people who needed freedom of worship that went to America. But you see what that freedom has degenerated into. And there are states in America that passed the bill. States in Europe that have passed the bill. And what is most curious to all of us, is that largely the religion in the European Union, the dominant religion there is Roman Catholicism. And yet, they are the ones in the parliament, they are the ones everywhere, they are all Catholics. And yet they are the same people that have passed the bill for same sex. And if you cannot read anything from there, you can't read anything anywhere else. It's a state of rebellion. Look at what is going on. Immorality broken down. Now a man can marry a man. Now they come up plainly to say, yes, it's our right. A woman can marry a woman. It's our right. Now you call it abomination. But they say it's human right. And that is the rebellion Apostle Paul was talking about. And remember, it was at this state that Sodom and Gomorrah reached that God is saying he don't do. That lets you know that God will soon come to this earth and say he don't do. It is a sign of the end. Praise the Lord. That is the meaning of that statement. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Can we clap our hands for Jesus? I love what Apostle Peter said to console us. 2 Peter chapter 3. I love the way Peter put it there to console us. All glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No, I think it's the same Paul. If I remember that scripture very well. 2 Thessalonians. Let's go back to Thessalonians, I think. Amen. It is, sorry, Thessalonians. And the whole world is drifting apart, and all of us, we are looking. Into perdition. There is, praise the Lord. Verse 30, sorry, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that same scripture, that is where we find it, yes. I know that Peter also mentioned the same thing. Amen. Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. I love that. Praise the Lord. First, there is a way. Okay, now, verse 13. Verse 13, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where he says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he said, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Stand fast and hold the traditions. Stand fast. Jude said, contend for the faith. Earnestly contend for the faith. I think it was Peter that said, we are not of them that drop back to perdition. No, we are not ordained to go to perdition. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, if anybody is doubting whether this world will soon end, you shouldn't anymore. The handwriting is on the wall. This was exactly the stage that Sodom and Gomorrah was. And God said, no, if we don't do something. And what happened? Fire came down. And fire is waiting to come down again. But before that fire will come, we shall be gone. Praise the Lord. How many people are ready for the rapture? God bless you. It's easier to put up your hand up than to follow the steps to your salvation. But my prayer, amen. Somebody called me yesterday evening. I was saying one interesting thing about this church. He was watching the television. He said that people will come here on Tuesday and say, and I will lash them. Raw. Speak very rough. That you will expect that they will not come on Friday. He said, Friday again, they will still come. He said, I will talk harder. He said, you think that they will not come? He said, on Sunday, they will still come. And I told him, I said, the truth is this, that people are looking for people that will tell them the truth. And God will judge all you preachers that refuse to tell them the truth. Because you are afraid that your church will be empty. My own, no empty. Why do you think your own go empty? Amen. Praise God. The children of God want to hear the truth. The sinner wants to hear something that will make you repent. That is who the children of God are. Yes, I know, say, I see the thief. But this man, they talk true. Not true, and the thief. Make I keep going. Maybe one day God will help me make I stop to thief. Yes, I see they wear trouser. But I know what they make me wear trouser. This one, they every time they talk and talk and talk. But they talk true. Why should a woman dress like a man? But I go see dress now. If I not dress like this, I don't know that I go get husband. This man, I don't know what they go through. But in the talk true. One day you go wear that trouser. Eh? Heat. You go to work like this. You go to bite you for road. Praise the Lord. Somebody said they are getting excited about Sister Linda from Sierra Leone. They are getting afraid. So I was wondering, I said, what is the problem with the people? What is Linda saying that we have not spoken? I show you by the Bible. We open Bible, show you. You know, Griabi. So God raised one Linda to enter spirit and tell things. Now people are afraid. Hey, have you had one Linda? Have you had one Linda? Praise the Lord. I received news that she has married the pastor of that church now. Pastor Paul Rica of Revival something. Holiness Revival. She was prophesying how mighty the man is. And maybe she prophesied him too to be her husband. They married this week. Praise God. That would be a very wonderful ministry, isn't it? Okay. Let's go into prayers now. How many people want to pray?